I was told to meet people for this meeting place at a park that was just close to the radio station. And I couldn't for the life of me picture what that park was. And I don't know if I'd ever been there. And so I said something to Russell, and he says, yeah, it's been there like for forever. And so I was decided I was just going to drive by one day, and sure enough, that park was there, so I didn't know where to meet. But I was reminded of that this morning with the story of the Good Samaritan, how easy it is to pass by what people, places, to not pay attention to something that could be right in front of your face, people that could be there like forever in your life. So this morning, as we share our pieces, thought on Peace Sunday, it was particularly appropriate to do this. I guess I would like us to think of paying attention to the diversity of the pieces that you see here, but also to the stories that you're going to hear, and to think about how we all have stories. There were 12 people who contributed a piece to this patchwork hanging, and 8 children, 12 adults and 8 children. I would especially like to even just say a little bit about Florence now, too. I wish she could be here to see this. I think of Florence, and those of you that don't know her, she took material that had been left over and made the drawstring bags for the MCC kits, the school kits, the newborn kits, and she sewed the kits, the pieces of material together. So I just have to wonder how many pieces of material did she touch in her life? I don't know. I even ask her before, Florence, how many of these have you done? And she go, I don't know. I don't count. And so I know that even up to a month ago, she was still sewing these bags for the MCC quilt. So I think it's really special that, I don't know, we could feel her presence with us today. So when I first had this idea, I started collecting the pieces, and then at one point I thought, well, maybe I should have told people a certain color, a couple colors, or maybe I should have told people a design that we were kind of going for to make this thing look like it all belonged together. And then I realized, well, no, this is who we are. This is who we are. We're all colors. We're all designs. And then the other thing, we were short 4 pieces, and so I kind of started looking through some of my extra pieces that I thought I could add in there, and then I go, no, it needs some open pieces. Open for more stories. Hopefully open for more people who will join us. And so I really love the open pieces in that. I wanted to, the children all took time one Sunday last spring and made their pieces. So I would just like to point out, this is our pointer. I would like to point out the ones that they did. This is Sean, and he really liked the nature part. Yes, Sean, you're right there. All right. Sean put some nature. I encourage you, after the service, I know that not all of these pieces, the details are visible from where you're sitting. I encourage you to come up and just look at things. This is Sean's. This is Anwar's. Sam's. Jake's. This is Ollie's. This is Reese's. And this is Charlie's, and this is Rosie's. So I have volunteered Rachel to go first, and then everyone else will just come up randomly as you feel led, and then I will close. So I think what might be most helpful is for us to speak into this mic, and then you can kind of pass this mic to the next person. And here's our pointer. If you could point out your fabric piece, that would be super. All right, Rachel, you want to start?
This is the piece I contributed right here. And I'm actually going to speak from behind here,
that's
if that's
great.
Okay,
if you feel
I can put my notes down.
Sure.
Okay. So my piece is a dress, part of a dress given to me by my friend Fatima Hassan Muhammad, who was a Somali refugee who was my client and friend in Dallas. So I'm just going to pass around this picture of us so you can see her. This was 20 years ago, like probably almost to the day when she came to the United States, which makes me feel kind of old. So this is her and her kids, Hussein, and then little Rachel, who was born after they were in Dallas, and my brother Luke, who was visiting at the time. So we went and hung out with Fatima for a little bit. So after college, I wanted to do something completely different. So I accepted a position with a Catholic volunteer agency in Dallas, Texas. And apologies to those of you who've heard all this a million times. I'm just going to go over it again. So this was working with Catholic charities doing refugee resettlement. So my idea before I went down there was that I'd like to work with Spanish-speaking immigrants, maybe helping them with legal issues, and I didn't like really understand the different categories of immigrants. So I ended up working though with refugees whose legal stuff was all taken care of, but who needed more social services. So this was refugees from Somalia, Sudan, Iraq, Bosnia, Kosovo, Vietnam, and a few other places, but those were the main groups coming in at the time. I was really laughably unprepared for this. It was a quick introduction. We were really short-staffed at the beginning, so it was a really intense introduction to urban poverty, government agencies, Islam, post-traumatic stress disorder, how to drive a 12-passenger van in Dallas traffic, where the best check-cashing places are, urban public schools, racism, minimum wage jobs, how to work three of them so you can survive. I was not doing that, I was observing people doing that. Public transportation, and mostly resilience in the face of very long odds. So Fatima was part of this big, complicated Somali family who all ended up in Dallas, and then all ended up going separate ways, except for her and her brother-in-law and kids. Her husband left her early on, basically left her to fend for herself. They had fled Mogadishu quite a few years previously and lived in Kenya in a refugee camp for years. That was actually where her son Hussein was born. So we hit it off and we stayed friends long after her case had officially been closed. I'm sure part of that was because I had a vehicle and could drive her places, but we also just really liked to hang out. She was super funny, super feisty. She had never really been to school, but she was really smart. She did really good imitations of people, especially the apartment manager where she lived, who she didn't get along with very well. So we spent a lot of time drinking tea, driving around in my car, being lost in Dallas, and playing with her kids. So this piece of fabric reminds me of her and also everyone else whose lives have been pretty much nonstop turmoil and who have managed to find some joy and contentment in the midst of that.
A couple of years ago, I read about somebody that had made a collection of blue bandanas. And He had found over 250 different patterns that we look at them and think they're all alike, but evidently they are not. And I was thinking, what a great collection, not too expensive, you know, doesn't take up much room. And when you move, if the mover drops that one box, no problem. So, but the reason I chose that from the fabric I had at home, it reminded me of growing up on the farm, and particularly my dad's work uniform. And there's one thing about going back to very earliest memories and putting them into words, like suddenly it's like, oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that was the pattern. Oh, that's how it worked. So for my dad, for the 50-some years that I knew him, he had this one standard work outfit. He had a ball cap that probably came from like a seed company or a farm implement dealer. He wore a blue cambray, or chambray, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, cotton work shirt, long-sleeved, button at the cuffs, all buttoned up except for the top button. He did not care for the sun that much. And then the pants, he had either twill or denim work pants, brown leather belt, always brown, heavy brown work socks, and heavy brown leather work shoes, ankle height, lace up the front. And I don't even know where the guy found the same thing for 50 years. And I'm not even sure when he brought it into the house, you know, the new stuff. But he always looked the same. He was a careful worker. He did a lot of work on machinery. I never saw him with any kind of oil stain on him. And he must have occasionally gotten holes in things, but Mom would always get him patched up, and he looked the same day in, day out. So the final touch for his, or final element of his work outfit was that in the morning he'd go to his dresser and there was a stack of bandanas that Mom had pressed, and they were folded into pocket squares, and he put that in his back pocket and he was set for the day. So anyway, but it was interesting to me. These were things that I knew, but I had never put them together, and so I kind of appreciate the chance to recover a memory.
And it's a square left over from the material that I made the dress that I wore to my wedding reception. I wore a store-bought wedding dress, but then I made a dress to wear to the reception because we had a contra dance, and I wanted something that I could dance in. And I don't know if anybody has noticed, sometimes I wear a dress that's red with gold embroidery, and my reception dress was that same pattern. So it had a very flowy, swingy skirt that when you dance and spin around, it flares out and looks fun. So I made that dress. We got married in September, so I would have started over the summer. And I made it with a sewing machine that my mother bought me for my college graduation gift. So it was when Beth asked for fabric squares, that was one of the many scraps that are in my collection of fabric in drawers and now piling on top of things in my sewing room. So, yeah.
Thank you. Sister Munira came from Bangladesh. She and her husband waited 10 years to be able to participate in the diversity lottery. When I first met her, we were able to teach ESL classes together at a mosque in Columbus, and her sincere commitment was to address poverty through, she felt the acquisition of the English language was so very important. Teaching English, she thought, was a way to break through some of the inaccurate teachings that were happening. She would stay teaching even in some of the mosques that she attended. Actually, she chose not to often attend the mosque because she felt that that wasn't her favorite place to learn. But she founded a group for Ohio called the Long Lasting Community Development Association. And I have to tell you, I loved the blouse. She brought it back to me from Bangladesh, but she was there about 2 months to be with family that was just in dire straits related to their poverty conditions. I so wanted her included in this quilt that Beth was able to take part of an arm off so that I can still wear it with a sweater, but she's still included here, which it truly does mean a lot. So I actually had the honor of nominating her. She's just this petite, beautiful force that as an agent of change, so she won this Agent of Change Award. But to embody this, at our home where we used to live, which was part of the Underground Railroad, there was this bell that was called the All Clear Bell, and it would be rung as we were told when it was it was clear for slaves, free persons, to come to the home to receive hospitality, a safe haven. And we ring it, we went back this past year, and we would ring it as a remembrance of that journey of social justice. And she often, I know last year she got right in the thick of it and wanting to ring that bell, because she believed that this day and age, we must remember that there are still people seeking freedom and justice. So I have a picture here of she and I just breaking bread. This is last year, sharing a meal together at PETA International in Columbus. And I share this quote, "Friendship is the only cement that will ever hold the world together." Something to remember on this piece.
to say one more thing about Florence. I don't know if you have an idea how many bags she made, but she, it was like a job. She'd say, oh, he only made 10 today. I mean, she made 10 or 12 a day. I think she might have taken Saturday and Sunday off. And then just in the last month or so, I only made 6 today. But she still was making them. So she made thousands and thousands. The blue piece, it was just some, I didn't ever make anything with the bolt of fabric that I had. It wasn't a bolt, but I must have gotten it on sale and I liked it, but I just never made anything with it. But the pink one has some meaning to it. It came from my grandma, my dad's mom, and she was a seamstress by necessity. She was one of 11 children, I think, born in 1903. She was on her own as an adult, and she just made do. She was very frugal. She taught me how to sew on her treadle sewing machine, mostly just how to make a straight line at first. And I was about eight or nine years old. So anyway, when Jennifer was little, I was looking to make for some material to make her a mattress and a pillow to go into a doll bed. And I went to my grandma. She had a cardboard box of all kinds of scraps and pieces of material, and I found that piece in there, and she'd had it for a long time, too. I don't know how old it was, but, you know, this was 40 years ago when I got it. So it has a lot of special meaning for me, of my grandmother, memories of her, and I still have a piece of it in my box full of scraps.
So I pieced that piece together. The first year that I was homeschooled in 1988-89, I was in fifth grade. My grandmother, Opal Morgan, owned a quilt shop where she sold, you know, fabric and thread and all the pieces you would need. And she ran that out of her house, a couple of the front rooms, and that was part of my memory of my grandmother, and her house was the quilt shop. And being from Kentucky, I wanted to contribute something from Kentucky, from my heritage, and I always pictured myself living in a log cabin, and this particular pattern is a log cabin pattern. My dad instilled in me a lot of family history, and so my daydreams were often of my pioneer ancestors building log cabins. And so I wanted to sort of be a part of that and chose some fabric from my grandmother's quilt shop and made the log cabin pattern. I didn't make it into a whole quilt. It wasn't really much bigger than that. But I just wanted to do some quilting piecework and put that together. And recently, my aunt gave me some quilts that my grandmother had made, and also her mother, my great-grandmother, had made. A couple of quilts that my great-grandmother had made for weddings for her daughters. A double wedding ring quilt for my great-aunt, and also a Lone Star quilt for my grandmother and grandfather. So I opened up that crate, a plastic crate that she brought it in, and instantly was taken back 25, 30 years, because the smell of the quilts was the smell of my grandmother's house. It was a really cool moment. I was like, oh, wow, I should be eating cantaloupe or mint chocolate chip ice cream. You know, it was just this, I'm a kid again. It was beautiful. So this is my piece of Kentucky in Jubilee. So thank you.
I grew up in a culture where we danced. Music was very important. We had lots and lots of weddings and occasions where we would dance the polka and the waltz and various other dances of German and Polish origin. One of my earliest memories is standing on my dad's feet while he danced, and I was learning how. I started playing piano when I was 6 years old. I got kind of away from it, so don't, I'm not a master piano player now. But my parents had not had things like music lessons when they were children, and yet they sprung for piano lessons even though we were pretty poor. That was one splurge my mom made sure happened, was that I had piano lessons all the way through high school. They bought an old clunker piano. So when I had kids, I wanted to encourage them as much as we possibly could. And they got their lessons through Bellefontaine City Schools, has an absolutely excellent music program. Both of my kids play multiple musical instruments, as you probably have figured out from Justin. Probably the biggest thing represented by this block, there are so many Bible verses about music and about singing and dancing and celebrating life and celebrating your love and your faith through music. And that is why I picked that, both from my past history and because it does represent my way of celebrating my faith.
This piece here is Jerry's, and she said, oh, this is just there's really no story. But she used this to make curtains for her bedroom, I believe. Is that right? Yeah. So Jerry, I know, is a sewer, but this is a really beautiful piece. Then Belinda, this is Belinda's piece. And she sent me what she would like me to read about her piece. My fabric is from one of my dad's flannel shirts. He wore one every day when it was cold and rarely wore a jacket. He bought and sold timber, so this was very fitting. When I think of him, he always has a flannel shirt on. I know Belinda's dad is very a special person to her. This is my piece. Right there. It's really amazing what a piece of fabric can conjure up for you with memories. But this was the fabric that Rachel and Martha both used at their wedding receptions for the table runners. And those were happy times. But what this piece reminded me of was that there was a point in my life when my children were younger where, I don't know if somebody suggested this or what, but they suggested that you pray for your children's spouses if they would, you know, if they were to be married, to pray for their spouses. So I did that for a period of time. And I ended up with Tom. And isn't that wonderful? He was in Bell Fountain growing up right under my nose. And I ended up with Adam, who also was from this community. And I ended up with Abby, who is from Kansas and comes from a wonderful family. And then I ended up with Christian. And I've often thought that maybe that prayer was, I prayed for the children's spouses, but maybe the prayer was for me too. Because praying for a soft heart, and I didn't know what all was to come when I got Christian. So I'm thankful for all of my children's spouses, and that's what that material brought to my mind. So, yeah. I really want to thank everyone who participated. It's really amazing that stories that can come from a 10x10 piece of fabric. I was thinking about how many more stories there are. How many there more stories there are from each of us, but just from Bell Fountain, and then you think of Logan County, then you think of our country, you think of the world, and how each one of them would be different, and how you know, different designs, different colors, were different shapes, but how it's an equalizer, right there. We're all the same size, right there, and so we're equalized. Everybody's story is just as important as the one beside. If we're missing one, we have a big hole. And I also was thinking how the border that Rachel Kaufman sewed around the outside for us, how that is what holds us together. And I have to think that in this rich and complex humanity, it is the love of God that holds us all together. I wanted to just close with reading a couple verses from Ephesians. Jesus came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both all of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God.